Okay, let's unpack this. We're doing a deep dive today on a piece of scripture that is just so, so widely known.
It really is.
I mean, it's the spiritual equivalent of comfort food. It's the verse people lean on, ironically, when they are facing these huge life choices, and they just feel completely overwhelmed.
We are talking about Proverbs 3.5.
Yep.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Exactly.
It really holds that same high-frequency spot in conversation as, say, Philippians 4.13 or John 3.16. It's very familiar territory.
It is. When you're making that one colossal decision, you know, maybe you're thinking about a career change or you're facing a massive financial step, or maybe just trying to make sense of a tragedy.
This is the one that comes up.
This is the one. And the general instruction seems pretty clear.
Hmm.
Just surrender your intellectual control, because your own knowledge isn't enough to handle this kind of weight.
And that general meaning is, well, it's absolutely foundational. But as always on this deep dive, our mission is to go past that general meaning and get a little more granular. Hmm. And we found a really incredible insight in the research that focuses so intensely on one single word in that verse. And it's a word that, honestly, it utterly redefines the magnitude of the trust that's required.
And that word is lean, which at first seems almost too simple.
Right.
If the goal is this total submission of your intellect, why is lean the word? I mean, why didn't the writer use something much stronger, like do not rely heavily, or, you know, do not build upon your own understanding? Why the subtlety of just lean?
That is the crucial question. And it highlights the, well, almost terrifying precision of the instruction. Think about the physical act of leaning for a second.
Okay.
It requires almost no effort, really, a minimal investment. As various commentators on this text point out, to lean is just a slight bend of the knee or small, almost unconscious movement of your torso. You don't have to fully commit to a position to be leaning.
Which means it's something you could do by accident, or maybe something you don't even realize you're doing until you, what, you lose your balance?
Precisely.
Yeah.
And while the effort is minimal, the impact on your stability is immediate and it's significant. If I'm standing perfectly straight, I'm stable.
Right.
But if I allow even a slight, maybe a 3-degree shift of my weight, I'm leaning. I'm no longer centered. I'm no longer relying entirely on the ground beneath me. I'm relying on my own muscles to fight gravity from a lopsided position.
And what's so interesting about that is that slight imbalance is instantly noticeable to anyone else watching.
It is. The analogy that really drove this point home in the material we looked at was about hanging a picture on a wall.
Oh, that's a good one.
You might think it's perfectly straight, but someone else looking at it will almost always tell you, you know, move it slightly left, it's still leaning to the right.
Always.
Even just a few degrees off center creates this visual and structural strain. Leaning is always visible, even if it feels comfortable to the person who's actually doing it.
So we take that powerful physical image and we translate it to the intellectual and spiritual realm. And this is where the command becomes so much more demanding than just simple advice for a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
God isn't just saying, hey, don't build your life's entire philosophy on your own limited knowledge. He is saying, don't even offer a slight bend of your intellectual knee toward your own capabilities.
And that severity is what shocked many of the ancient interpreters of this text.
Yeah.
They note that the use of the word lean implies a recognition of just how deeply flawed and prone to self-reliance human understanding is.
Right.
Had the instruction been, you know, don't lay on your knowledge, we might just nod and agree.
Yeah.
Of course, our knowledge isn't the ultimate truth, but don't even lean. That suggests that even the smallest application of self-trust, the most minor intellectual tilt, is dangerous.
Okay, but I have to push back on that a little, because for the modern listener, that sounds incredibly demanding, maybe even slightly anti-intellectual.
I can see that.
I mean, we're intelligent beings. We're told elsewhere to seek wisdom, to discern, to use the minds we were given. Why such an extreme instruction against even the most minor use of our own knowledge? How can our intellect be so fallible that even a slight tilt is forbidden?
Well, it's not so much anti-intellectual as it is an acknowledgement of our, well, our perspective limitations and our cognitive biases.
Mm.
Our understanding is inherently flawed because it's finite. It's constantly shifting.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about how much common knowledge has changed in the last 50 years. Scientific facts, societal norms, Even economic principles that were once taken as absolute truths have been totally revised or just thrown out.
So if we lean on our understanding, we are literally leaning on shifting sand.
Exactly. And that's the second part of the equation here. We need to shift the focus from what we are leaning on, our fallible knowledge, to what we are trusting. The command is to trust in the Lord, who is described, you know, consistently as stable and unchanging. Our intellect is unstable. Therefore, even the slightest lean on it guarantees you will eventually lose your balance.
So the stability has to come from the source of all stability.
It has to.
Okay, so here's where this deep dive takes its biggest turn, I think. Because the implications of avoiding that slight lean are just massive. This moves so far beyond the big life-altering decisions, the job changes, the moves across the country that we usually associate with Proverbs 3.5.
It really does.
Yeah.
The logical conclusion that's drawn from the specificity of that word lean is that if we are commanded not to commit even that slight degree of self-reliance, then this has to apply to, well, to everything.
Everything.
The commentators argue that this means every seemingly insignificant decision, small gesture, and minor thought should be given to God first.
Now, that genuinely sounds like overkill. I mean, how can any functional person exist under that kind of constant mental pressure? Am I really supposed to consult divine guidance on which lane to choose in traffic or what tone I should use in a casual email? It feels paralyzing.
It does. That initial feeling of a paralyzing overkill is natural, but it reveals the true scope of the instruction. If you accept that your own knowledge is unstable in the small things, just as it is in the big things, then the command actually makes perfect sense. You need constant calibration.
Ah.
And that brings us directly to the other piece of scripture the researchers pulled into this context. Paul's instruction to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5.17.
Okay, so the constant demand to avoid leaning is essentially the same as the constant command to connect. The two ideas are mirrors of each other in terms of the vigilance required.
Precisely. If you are constantly checking yourself to make sure you are not even slightly relying on yourself, then you must, by definition, be constantly connected to the only stable alternative, which is trusting God. The command to not lean requires the exact same continuous internal posture as pray without ceasing.
That's a really powerful connection. But let's clarify what that constant posture means in a practical sense. Because if we take pray without ceasing literally, the source material is quick to note that Paul is not encouraging us to reject our daily responsibilities, you know, quit our jobs and just kneel in prayer all day.
Right. That would be, as they put it, silly.
Yeah.
It would be. The true meaning isn't about the volume of communication. It's about the orientation of your heart. The synthesis provided is that Paul is instructing us to be so in tune with Jesus that you are trusting him with everything that you do.
So your life becomes an ongoing conversation, not a series of like scheduled appointments.
Exactly. And the proof that you are praying without ceasing is the very fact that you are actively avoiding the lean on your own understanding.
This dramatically shifts the definition of prayer from being a performance, you know, a recitation of words, to a constant state of being.
Yeah.
And the avoidance of the lean becomes the primary evidence of that trust relationship.
It completely collapses the distinction between what we call spiritual decisions and mundane decisions.
Yeah.
If you handle all the small details yourself, which route to take, how to prioritize your tasks, the seemingly minor choices that make up 99% of your day, you are implicitly telling God, look, I trust you with the big, scary, eternal stuff, but I've got the small day-to-day things under control based on my own superior intuition and skills.
And that, as the research argues, is the ultimate manifestation of the slight lean. It's the assumption that in certain areas, in our areas of expertise or personal comfort, we don't need divine guidance.
It's just compartmentalization. We put God in a box labeled crises only. And we keep the small stakes box labeled my expertise entirely for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the wisdom of Proverbs 3.5 through this lens of lean suggests those small unconscious leans are the most frequent source of our imbalance. A slight lean applied 100 times a day is just a recipe for a massive fall.
This leads right to that provocative challenge that we uncovered in the material, which is really designed to force you, the listener, to examine your own compartments. They state that if you don't genuinely believe Jesus is a God of details, then the problem isn't with the scripture, it's with your perception of God.
The challenge is essentially, your God is too small, and you need to get him out of that box you've placed him in.
Wow.
I mean, think about the sheer scale of the universe and the power required to sustain it. Yet we often limit that power when it comes to guiding our Tuesday afternoon schedule.
That's a great point.
If God can handle the movement of galaxies, surely He can manage which email you should respond to first, or whether you should take the longer, scenic road home.
That's the real test of trust, isn't it? If we trust him to sustain the entire universe, but not to guide the tone of a minor social interaction, we are creating this false boundary for his influence. That slight lean in those micro areas suggests a totally incomplete picture of his stability and his presence.
It forces us to confront the reality that often our own understanding is simply a desire for control. When we lean, we are basically saying, I prefer my comfort and my predictability to the radical, destabilizing trust that God requires.
This entire deep dive has completely transformed how I see that verse. It takes Proverbs 3.5 from being a piece of advice you save for major life crossroads, and it elevates it to a constant minute-by-minute calibration for every single moment of life.
Exactly.
It's not about avoiding the one big fall. It's about not even shifting your weight in the first place.
We started by seeking an insight into a familiar text, and we've uncovered that true trust is defined not by these grand gestures, but by the relentless, continuous avoidance of even the slightest lean towards self-reliance. It just demands a posture of continuous connection.
Which is exactly what Paul called praying without ceasing.
Exactly.
So, okay, given this intense new definition, the practical question becomes, how do we apply this incredible pressure of don't even lean to our lives right now without becoming completely overwhelmed? We need some kind of framework to check our posture.
The material offers the perfect reflective question to send you off with. It encourages you to apply this concept of the slight lean, not just to decisions, but to the very foundations of your personal well-being.
Right. Where are you subconsciously finding your primary source of worth or stability?
That's the question.
This is the one that really sticks with you. Don't just analyze your decision-making. Analyze your internal anchors.
So we really encourage you to spend some time contemplating this question. What areas of your life are you ever so slightly leaning on something else? For your joy, passion, wisdom, and contentment.
That slight lean toward a career achievement for your validation, the slight lean toward a specific relationship for your security, the slight lean toward wealth for your contentment, that small tilt, that minimal shift of your weight, it's noticeable. And according to this deep dive, it's the exact form of self-reliance we are commanded to avoid.
It's a subtle shift, but it requires a monumental adjustment.
It really does. Marinate on that one. We'll catch you next time.